Welcome to another episode of Corporate Real Estate Strategy, brought to you by Helm, where it is our job to educate you on innovative technology and practices that impact the world of commercial real estate. We are your hosts, Conley Covert and Emily Lahman. Our guest today is Etienne Kadestan, founder and global CEO of Longevity Partners. Etienne founded Longevity Partners in 2015. Prior to that, he worked at Knight Frank, JLL, and the United Nations, the leading global environmental authority that sets global environmental agendas. Etienne has more than a decade of experience in sustainable property investment and strategy. He currently advises the largest property investment companies in Europe. In 2017, Etienne was picked to be a Estates Gazette's Property Rising Star and nominated for numerous awards as one of the most active young leaders in sustainability in real estate industries. He regularly speaks at high-level events, giving his vision for smart cities, carbon-neutral buildings, well-being in the workplace, and the future of real estate industry. Etienne graduated from the London School of Economics. A keen sportsman, Etienne has run 9 marathons and enjoys playing tennis, sailing, skiing, cycling, and golf. He is married with 1 daughter. Without further ado, please enjoy our conversation with Etienne Kadestan.
Welcome to our show.
Conley, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here in Texas, in Austin. I'm delighted to be here on your podcast.
Well, thank you. Well, we're thrilled to have you on our show today. Helm is a big fan of what you're doing at Longevity Partners, and we are eager for our audience to learn more about you and Longevity. Let's begin with a couple of questions about you from my co-host, Emily.
Etienne, I understand you're a rugby player. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. I played rugby for about 13 or 14 years. At the end, I used to spend about 25 hours a week on the pitch. And it was pretty intense. And I loved it. I loved the camaraderie and I loved the banter. And I think it's a very good school for life.
What is your favorite book and why?
At the moment, I've got loads of favorite books, but at the moment, I'm reading a book called The Dip from Seth Godin. And it's a very short book, and I really like it. It's all about the dip, which is the efforts that you put into a new project. And it resonated quite well with me and Longevity Partners with the efforts that you need to put to set up something. And that dip is actually what makes a difference between people that in general make it and people that don't make it. And it's just about perseverance and keep going and never giving up. And I really enjoyed that. It's a very short book and I liked it.
Sounds like I should read that. Now let's talk a little bit more about business, or your business, I should say. What is Longevity's elevator pitch?
Right. Our elevator pitch is that we operate in 26 European countries and that we do everything that you can think about that is green related to the built environment, commercial or residential.
Excellent. And what is Longevity's mission statement?
Our mission statement, I would say, is to make sure that tomorrow's buildings and urban spaces meet the needs of future generations. There's about 40% of global carbon emissions being spent in buildings, and our mission is to decarbonize those assets. So reducing carbon emissions by about 40% globally.
Wow.
Is our mission.
Okay. And what is Longevity's vision statement?
Well, I would say our vision is to transform businesses and transform cities. And there's a lot that could be done. There are some places in the world that are a little bit more advanced than others. But in general, there's a lot that needs to be done. So our vision is really to go to those places and push the agenda and raise the bar when it comes to carbon reduction and savings in general.
Great awareness. What do you want to tell the world about Longevity?
How great it is. Longevity is a very small firm. We only have 25 people working with us at the moment. It's growing quite rapidly, and mainly because we certify a lot of assets and we work for some very large companies. So the scale of growth is quite rapid. We try to be different in the sense that we put a lot of effort into training our teams and having the best people on board. And we are very passionate about what we do. And I think at the moment, there's a lot of sustainability advisory firms that have been regional, at best national. And given that investors are global and a lot of players need support on a global scale, what we're trying to do is to create a global sustainability practice that will meet the goals, that would meet the needs of these big companies. So at the moment, that's what we're trying to achieve, and that's why we've got a global expansion plan to accelerate the transition to a low carbon economy in the real estate sector.
Excellent. And where can we learn more about your company and what are you up to and what you are up to?
I think we've got a website.
What is the website?
The website is longevity.co.uk or longevity.fr for the French side or longevitypartners.nl for the Dutch office. We've got an office in Paris and we've got an office in Amsterdam, which has just opened on Monday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The website, and then we're shortlisted for loads of awards. So we most of the time every year we'd have 3 or 4 awards that we're shortlisted for, and we fill a big pack with all our sort of financial results and our performance and what our clients say about us, and that's also a good way of finding out more about what we do.
Excellent, thank you. What purchase of $100 or less would you recommend to a client, friend, or family member that would have the most positive impact on sustainability?
Wow, that's a big question. I'm organizing an event for a big trade show in Munich in 2 weeks' time, and I've bought some books for our clients/partners called The Trillion Dollar Shift, which is all about the amount of investment that we need to save the planet. And I think reading these kind of success stories and you know, those books put things into perspective and reminds people how, you know, what needs to be done and that it's doable, but that there is a collective responsibility that people need to have in order to make it happen. So I would say that book probably would be a good investment to have a big positive impact on sustainability.
That's great advice. I'm going to give the mic to Conley, and he is going to ask some more questions.
Etienne, currently Longevity is offering services in 26 countries, as you mentioned, and eyeing an expansion to the U.S. How is the U.S. going to be different, and where lies the low-hanging fruit?
Right, it's a massive question. The U.S., I would say, is a bit behind when it comes to sustainability in the built environment. There are elements of strategy and decarbonization and sort of hardcore programs that Europe has taken on board for a very long time. And it's just because the European Union has decided to legislate at, at European level. And those regulations were then passed on and implemented at national level and then regional and national level. The target is to be carbon neutral by 2050. As you know, a lot of countries have ratified the Paris Agreement, which the US came out of straight after it was signed in 2016. But I would say a lot could be done in terms of energy efficiency. There's in terms of rollout of LED lighting, in terms of optimization control, in terms of monitoring, in terms of data sharing and data collection and analysis. There's a big gap that needs to be addressed. Also, there's a huge amount of opportunities. There are some countries where some states in the US where electricity is very expensive, and there's a big opportunity for renewable energy, which has moved on and has, it started for the last sort of 10 years, but a lot more could be done on the sort of renewable side of things to achieve further savings, especially if we are to decarbonize transportation with the upcoming electric vehicles that will hit the roads very soon.
So why choose longevity? What does a corporation need to know about you?
I think we do things, we've got a sort of interaction effect with our knowledge across all 26 countries. And we've got, I do believe, some of the best people working in sustainability in their field in Europe. So that's what we're going to try to replicate in the US. We work for some of the largest property companies in the world. And as far as I know, so far, we've had very good feedback from all of them. And about 100% of our clients use our services again, which is a very good indicator for us. I would say that given the US is a bit behind Europe in terms of sustainability, we've a lot of the things that will be done in the next 5 to 10 years have already been done in Europe. And I think we are, in terms of knowledge and in terms of being able to convince people in boardrooms to implement projects and to roll out large-scale programs to have a positive impact. I think, you know, we've been there. We know how difficult it's been. And it's sometimes it's a slow burner, and sometimes there are great leaders that make a big difference very quickly. And some companies really get it, and some, you know, are a bit slower. But in general, the momentum is that everybody ends up, you know, jumping on the train. So I would say we've got a huge amount of experience, and we've got a very strong network as well, our know-how is quite unique. We've got a huge amount of smart engineers in our team that are passionate about savings and carbon reduction, and they'll go and save this carbon emissions as much as they can.
Fantastic. What are some of the sustainability challenges Europe faces today, and how can they be addressed now?
So the sustainability challenges that we've got in Europe at the moment are mainly related to the energy efficiency and renewable energy implementations and rollout of large programs. There has been a lot of efforts putting into data collection, monitoring, and better understanding of property portfolios. Now I think we're more in a stage where companies have started reducing their carbon emissions quite rapidly, and that will be accelerated. As part of an energy efficiency program, you've got the low-hanging fruits and the the lighting, most of the time, optimization of controls, renewable energy. But once you've done that, it's decarbonizing further is what the big challenge is. And most of the time that goes through behavioral change. So one of the biggest challenges that we've got at the moment is really changing people's habits in order to really, cut emissions. And there are some amazing case studies out there. You can reduce carbon emissions by 30% by just changing the way that you operate your building. As long as the tenants are involved, and tenants are usually very motivated, and there's a sort of collective spirit to achieve goals. And in a corporation, sometimes having a sustainability champion, those kind of things can make a difference. So I think behavioral change is a big problem. And the other one is that we face is every country is different. So some countries are a lot more advanced than others, and I think changing perception and educating people on what needs to be done and what could be done as well from legal perspective is important. There are, for example, there's 28 countries in Europe, so it's quite the sort of legislative landscape is quite different from a country to another, so identifying what the opportunities are in each country is quite difficult for us, but we've been appointed recently by a conglomerate of very large companies, including LaSalle Investment Management, Aberdeen Standard, M&G, and other companies to do a pan-European legislation review of all the legislation that will have an impact on or identifying all the risk and opportunities from environmental legislation. So we're in a very good place to advise our clients.
Does the US face different challenges?
I think these challenges, also apply in the US. I think one of the biggest opportunity that you could have is to legislate something like the Climate Change Act, for example, at national level, that will allow you to set in stone certain targets when it comes to carbon emission reductions. And I think that once you've got this overarching legal framework to reduce your impact as a nation on climate change, then states will have to accelerate the way that they're cutting carbon emissions, and I think people will do something. The problem without a clear legislative framework, it's really hard to operate, and people are busy in their daily jobs, and they don't necessarily realize that the planet is cooking and that we're heading to sort of 4 degrees temperature increase across the globe, and not many people understand what the consequences of that increase are. So yes, we've got sea level rise, we've got the biggest impact will be on biodiversity, and I think educating people on the impact of climate change, the impact on the economy as well. I mean, there are some crazy numbers around the actual financial cost of inaction towards the end of the century. And we know at the moment we're heading towards a four degrees target. We know that a 4 degrees target world or four degrees world is not insurable. So I think there are some drastic thinking that needs to happen. And as people know, there's more and more flooding. Extreme weather events are, more and more frequent. And, that has a cost. I think last year was about $155 billion. So it's not negligible.
How can corporations play a role in positive sustainability efforts? And why might this be important for them?
I think corporations actually play the biggest role in the transition towards a green economy. I think there's a huge amount of opportunities coming from the green economy, and corporations, even companies like BP, for example, have been investing a lot in electric vehicles, renewable energy, and all sorts of sort of clean tech and green companies. And I think the oil and gas industry has realized that there needs to be a transition pathway. There needs to be, a sort of new green economy. And they know that it's inevitable that carbon emissions will have to be cut, and we'll move towards a more electrified, more sustainable transportation, economy. But I think if it's going to come from somewhere, there's limited amount of things that the government can do. And it has to come from corporations, and the corporations that will take the lead on sustainability. And we've seen it with companies like Unilever, for example, are performing better than the others. So, and sustainability is not just energy. It's not just energy, water, and waste. And it's not just the environment. It's also the social element of it, which is very important. So, reducing inequality is one of the key challenges today that both governments and corporations are facing.
If you scheduled a lunch meeting with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, what topic would you want to discuss if you only had the opportunity to address one?
Right, I wouldn't talk about Brexit, that's for sure. But I think the UK has just legislated the new target for reducing, having a basically carbon neutral economy by 2050, that's sort of Theresa May's legacy before she stepped down. But the next step is very important, and I'd love to understand a bit more what is going to be done in the UK to make that target happen.
Same situation, but with US President Donald Trump.
Oh dear. I would stay focused on the the ESG agenda, the sustainability agenda. I would ask him, it's a very tricky question. I would probably tell him that climate change is a reality, and I would probably ask him what he's going to do about it.
How do the financial markets and global economy affect longevity's progress?
Wow, that's a very big question. I think there's a big momentum in the investment community now to divest from non-responsible investment products towards a more sort of what we call more responsible impact investments. And the problem that we're facing at the moment is finding the actual projects to invest and finding the companies that will invest responsibly. So I think in general, the economy is very good for us. Everything is moving the right way, and the green economy is moving today faster than any time before. So I think the global economy, plays in our favor. And I think, in the US as well, there are amazing corporations taking the lead on sustainability. A lot of corporations that are pledging to the Renewable Energy 100 campaign, for example, where 100% of their energy comes from renewable energy sources. I think Amazon has just pledged that they're going to do that by 2040. They announced it this week. I would say the global economy is slowly moving towards a greener, more inclusive economy, and we're in the heart of it. So we're the guys that actually are making this happen and that are accelerating the transition to the green economy. So I think the green growth and our growth are intrinsically linked.
Tell us a little bit about the services Longevity is offering today, new products that are in the works, and what you think could have the biggest impact for Longevity's mission.
Well, so we have three different big families of services. The first one is the standardization, which is all about certification. And we certify about 66 billion of assets, and these are sterling. So about more than $80 billion of properties in Europe, and that number is growing. So we've got the standardization, we've got the responsible business element of our services, which is all about strategy for businesses and for property companies, and we do all their reporting, we do all their KPI setting, and we're always setting up the bar. So we act as an external sustainability team, in essence. And when sustainability heads of sustainability or chief sustainability officers don't necessarily have the capacity to deliver their programs because they only have a small team, there's only so much they can do, that's where we come into play. So that service is growing. We've got a head of strategy and reporting based in Paris, and she's exceptional. We've been growing that service quite rapidly. In terms of the last one is all about energy and energy efficiency. And what makes us quite unique for a sustainability advisory firm is that we're actually a construction company, in the sense that we will deliver turnkey renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. So we can tell you what you need to do, where. We can tell you how much it's going to cost you. We can do it for you, and we can guarantee the savings as well. So, it's sort of one-stop shop. And that solution, that sort of turnkey solution, is great for everybody because you achieve, there's no middleman at each and every stage of the process. And also, we procure our equipment directly. And, the model just works perfectly. And the cheaper and the more, I was told not to say cheap, but good value element is very important to remain competitive.
If you could put a Longevity Partners billboard on the busiest highway in the world, what would you want it to say to society?
I would say time for action is now. I think we, to meet the sort of 2 degrees target, we had to bend the sort of CO2 curve by 2020. I don't think that's going to be achieved in the next few months. So I would just remind people what that the time for action is now, and we've got a collective responsibility to make this happen, and that there are great, great, great opportunities ahead of us.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you today as our guest. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Conley. Thanks, Emily.